Chapter 3. I'd thought that Aunt Gertrude had been speaking lightly when she'd invited Colonel Hamilton to call upon us to converse upon the health of the army with Uncle John and Dr. Campfield. I thought it was more a polite subterfuge for the convenience of all parties. I thought it was understood that the colonel would be calling upon me, not the surgeons, and from the colonel's parting words to me at headquarters that afternoon, I was certain he believed the same. If he did, then we both were sadly, even woefully, mistaken. Before the evening had fair begun, I learned to my dismay that Aunt Gertrude expected me to receive the colonel in the parlor, a small room made even smaller with the presence of Dr. and Mrs. Campfield, as well as my aunt and uncle, all seated in a half-circle of chairs before the fire. There was a chair reserved for me at one end of the row, and another for the colonel at the opposite end, with the two of us separated as far as was possible in the small room. Nor would I have an opportunity to play or sing to display my talents, for Mrs. Campfield possessed neither a pianoforte nor a harpsichord. Instead, Aunt Gertrude handed me a skein of rough-spun wool and a set of knitting pins with the suggestion, a suggestion I'd no choice but to obey, that I begin making Monmouth caps for the poor soldiers who had none against the cold. I told myself it was the proper thing to do, that such caps were much needed and would be welcomed, that I'd be selfish to think of myself first. Yet still I couldn't help but be disappointed. How could the colonel and I ever become better acquainted in such dismal circumstances? How was this supposed to attract a gentleman who'd had as many sweethearts as there were days in the month? But I dutifully begun to cast on stitches on my needles when the colonel was announced. I looked up eagerly, for he arrived with a punctuality that I soon learned was by his nature. His blue uniform was freshly brushed and his boots polished, his buff-colored breeches immaculate, his hair carefully combed and his jaw newly shaved. He wore his dress sword, too, appropriate for both a warrior and a gentleman, which was likely at his side to make me forget that I'd seen him earlier with the turkey feather pen.